Please be seated. Kevin, realize most of us were up late last night, and Brian's getting ready to preach. I better have them all stand up so they'll stay awake a little longer. So, appreciate that. I'm very excited, actually, about the lesson. Get nervous every time, but been thinking about this for a while. I'm not really one who would preach on occasions, on days, and things like that. But when I got thinking about that Emerson was starting next week, and that today was on the first day of a new year, and looking at what we've come through and seeing the excitement that we have for beginning our next chapter with the preacher and the Browns and all that, it just seemed fitting to look at today and to look at goals and maybe resolutions, as most people today will start setting new goals and resolutions for the new year. Some of them may end by today. We don't always make them last real long, but Ben talked about some of these things earlier. But I'm excited about some of the things that we can do, and I think we're excited about the changes that we're about ready to make. And the things that we've come through. And so I thought I'd take a few moments today, this morning, to look at some of these things. And I invite you to pull out your Bibles. We're going to look at a few verses and consider some things. And I think one of the first things that we kind of, before we look at going forward, sometimes we kind of look at where we've been to decide on what changes we need to make, to understand ourselves, to look at the past. So I kind of have three things I want to look at. I want to look at the past, I want to look at individual goals, and I want to look at group goals. When we look at the past, Ellen and I have been here for a while now, many years, and I've seen a lot of different things. I've seen ups and downs and exciting and encouraging things. I've seen some hurdles. I've seen some good and bad, some opportunities, and again, ups and downs throughout the years. And the thing is, with them all, they have one thing in common. They're all in the past. They're all behind us. Nothing that we can do now to fix them, to change them. And this is something that I have to remind myself of constantly, because I can think of things from the past. I was telling Ellen something the other day that happened in high school that I was thinking about. Nothing I can do about it. I can't go back and fix them. I can't change them. I can learn from them, and I can move on. If we look at some of the reading that was read this morning, I asked Mike to read all that because I think there are several points and it'll help us get the mind frame of what we're making, the points we're going to make this morning in Philippians chapter 3. I want to read again verses 13 through 15 though. Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In verse 13, again it says, to forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Concentrate on what lies ahead, on the future. Realize that we have obtained something, and that we are, these are important, but that we have a need for God. And I think as we look through, as we've looked through Romans, we realize in Romans chapter 5 even, that it points out that tribulations make us stronger. And it shows that growth there, that tribulation produces, and it makes us closer to God. Tribulations and hurdles and things are part of our life, and they can make us closer to God. But at the end of this, in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. And we talked, there's so many things I could have said this morning, and class did a great job, Kevin did a great job this morning. We were talking about unity and our mission and our goal, and here citizenship is in heaven. That's what we remain focused on. That's what our goal is. We can think of some things, and there's probably several examples, but I thought of these examples as we were thinking about past, and I looked at Paul. Actually, in Acts chapter 7, in verses 57 and 58, he still saw at this point in time. In Acts chapter 7, verse 57, he cried out with a loud voice, stopped with their ears, and ran at him in one accord, and it cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. We think of Saul and where he was at and what he was doing at this point in time. And we can see what he has to say about some of these things in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. See Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I have obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Saul looked at his past of his life and he realized that he was chief of sinners, as he refers to himself. He was not proud of this. Thing is he remembered it enough to drive him, to make him stronger, to encourage what he needed to do, but he did not get caught up in it. He made the changes needed, and he moved forward, moved on. Now, as I was presenting this lesson, I wondered on some things of where I wanted to go, and I thought, well, I'll be very generic in my thoughts. But then I thought, unless anyone misunderstands me, I'll make it very clear that I've seen a lot of things here, but I think that we've always tried our best to stand for what is the truth. But now that's not really the point. The point is it's time to move forward. Here's a quote that I can't even give credit to the author. I'm not sure who said it, but it's hard to move forward when you keep the past in the present. We must move on. We must focus on the future. We're going to focus on the future. I think we can look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We talked again this morning in class about our mission, our goal, our purpose, and keeping focused on that. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or bad, good or evil. This is our conclusion. This is the conclusion. This is our purpose. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That is what we are to strive forward, to focus on. And so that brings us to the next point of our individual goals. If we keep this in mind and we build throughout this thought for the rest of this lesson this morning, what are our individual goals? What do we plan to accomplish? Who do we want to be? Now, as we think about these things and we plan goals, I think we have to plan, we have to look forward to things. And I will say that the Bible tells us as the Lord wills. We must keep that in mind. We must keep that in mind. But we are focusing on becoming closer to Him and becoming stronger and doing that. If He provides us that time, we need to plan for that. We need to reach forward to that. We've already talked, as I said, Ben had some things in his lesson, and he had some things that he wants to look forward to this year, and he threw out his plan for reading the New Testament year, and I'm looking forward to that. We've already downloaded some of that and looking at that, and we can begin that today. That's something I'm excited about. And we may look at our future and our goals, and we may say, you know, as I said, we look at our past and we say, here's what I need to improve on. This is what I want to do. And we may have different ones. I just threw down a few. Maybe we want to be more hospitable or more evangelistic or teach or visit or be stronger or correct weaknesses or draw closer to God, pray more. There's a lot that we could put down here. I think it's important that we look at ourselves and we evaluate ourselves and we decide that this is what I want to improve on. This is what I want to make stronger. This is how I want to be so that I can be more pleasing to God. Maybe sometimes we just remind ourselves of past ones. Early in life, I looked at Joshua chapter 24 and decided that this one's going to be one of my goals. And I take the time every now and then to remind me of this. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse... No, I wrote down the wrong verse. I wrote down verse... Yes, it is, right verse. 15, sorry. I want to key on the end of the verse. That's why I struggled here. And it seems evil to you that you serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's that last part there that we try to key on, that I try to remind myself of. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a constant goal, and continue to remind myself of this. I think some other things that we want to look at, that we should strive as we make our goals, that should be around these thoughts. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wise fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now, that of now is, and of that which is to come. To instruct the brethren of these things, to be good ministers, to be servants of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of doctrine, and to keep these things, this is profitable for life as now and what is to come. These are what is profitable. We remind ourselves that we are to be servants of God. I think as we set our goals, whatever they may be, that we need to also consider Matthew 4:10 and Matthew 6:24. Matthew 4:10 says that Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Matthew 6:24, "No one shall serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We focus, if we make our goals, we need to remember that we need to make them on God, and we can't make them with two masters, and we need to be the servants of God and look at His for our goals and our guidance on what we truly want to become. I think personally, as we set goals, I think that we need to set our goals high. Make them something that we have to work for to achieve, but not set them so high that we can't achieve them. I think that's important when we set our goals. To make them so that we have to work for them, but not so high that we would be discouraged and can't achieve them. Again, as God wills, we need to focus on our future growth. You know, there's a saying you used to hear and probably have heard all the time from the army, is that we can be all that we can be. I think that we can apply that to ourselves. Be all that we can be. Set goals that we can be all that we can be for God. Constantly evaluating and pushing ourselves, not for our glory, but for God's. Also, I think we need to set group goals. We may have some meetings and thoughts around this in the future, but what do we want to accomplish here as a group? What do we want to accomplish together in this next year? Seen a lot of good things, lots of examples and lots of things of encouragement. I'll go through this in a little bit. No mistake that God wants us working on a team. This morning's lesson in the adult class push on this so much. We all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. There's a lot of good qualities here, though, and a lot of good qualities here that help to push me. I think if we took the time, I could go through and each one of you and find many positive qualities that encourage me, that strengthen me. And I think if we all took the time, we could do that. find things that we see that are good in each other that make us better. And I really hesitate to give some examples, but I have one, and I think it fits this lesson well. So, you know, as I was younger, I was raised by a Marine and maybe old school, and men just didn't show their emotions. That was the way that we were. But throughout the years here, I see a lot of the younger ones here that just pour out their hearts and emotions. They lay it all out there. We can see exactly what they stand for, who they are. And I'm encouraged by that. And it's helped to change me. I'm encouraged by that because you can see exactly what they're about. It lets us in, lets them see them more, understand them better, get closer to them. And so as I would hate to make anyone feel uncomfortable, I think this is exactly a good point for our lesson this morning. And some thoughts that I want to take. You can take the younger ones, or in here, this case, an example to the older. They've taught me things. They've encouraged me, and I think that we can all see points exactly like this. That we can build off of each other as we become a team and we come closer. And I want to look at that point even more. As we consider becoming closer and encouraging each other, building off of each other, edifying each other, that we want to work together and we want growth. One of the other things that has encouraged me is we bring in a preacher. We kept continuously saying, many different people said, that we didn't want a preacher to do the evangelistic work for us, that we want someone to help us. We want to work with them. And that told me a whole lot. It shows me the growth that we want in ourselves, the growth that we want as a group, and the growth that we want for God, and all those things. And as I continuously heard that, that encouraged me, made me more excited. I think we can look at some other verses that will go along with this. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think there's some things that we can pull out of this that show, again, that unity, that we realize that we were all dead in trespasses. And we were all made alive together because of Christ Jesus. We have this common bond. We have this common goal that we were all dead. We can all be alive through Christ Jesus. We share in these things together in Jesus Christ. And I look at James chapter 5. We've talked about this sometimes recently, and this has just really stayed on my mind. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. There's lots of encouraging things in this. It talks about, and I think, unity and understanding and knowing each other, but so look at verse 16 again. Confess your trespasses to one another. I think there's a couple thoughts that we can pull out of this. And I can tell you that part of this scares me. Because I'm the type of person who has lived a lot of my life in fear of letting others see me because of fear of looking stupid. Some of those that are really close to me know I don't like playing certain games because I don't like to look stupid in front of others. That's a fear I have. I don't like that. And so a lot of times I will build defenses to not let people see my faults. I think about this verse and it says, confess your trespasses to one another. Let people see your faults. It's hard. But I think about my family and they know my faults. They know my weaknesses. yet they still love me. When we think about our family here, our spiritual family, why would it be any different? We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. And we know that and we understand that. We know that we have a common bond, that we were all dead and we were all made alive together. So why is it too hard for us to share our weaknesses with each other? To help each other, to pray for each other. Can you imagine the unity, that the bond that we would have? I see that one of the goals that I have for this year, and that's hard because now I threw it out there and you'll have to see if I work on that. To share, to be so comfortable, to be so close that I can share my weaknesses and that we can help each other be stronger. It's an exciting thing. And I think we can see the power of God, the strength that that would be. We plan together on what we can accomplish this year. We may have to look beyond a little bit even. Some things it takes a while to change. Sometimes we can't take everything and make it tomorrow, but we can plan forward again as the Lord wills. We can desire to grow as a church. We can desire to grow together. To spread God's word in the community around us. To build up our classes. To do many things. We can see exciting things around us. We look at even, I meant to talk about this earlier, the changes that we have going forward. We've been blessed with a part of our family growing this already. Two more, if God wills, in the very, very near future. These future of the church, these little ones growing. Exciting things for this year. As I said, these thoughts have been in my mind for a while, and even when JR was here, he talked about the Church of Sardis. I had already started with these things, and I thought that that is not what we can be. We cannot be a dead church. What do they want? We want, if God wrote a letter about us, what would we be in that letter? What do we want that letter to be? What do we want to be here as a church, as a family, as a group? Things teach us. I'm trying hard not to say church the wrong way. We listen, we encourage. What do we want to be as a group of Westfield, striving to do God's will here together as part of His kingdom in this upcoming year? You know, last year, many things in my life, personal life, at work, I think even here in some ways, we kind of treaded water. It's not all bad. There were some good things that we accomplished. We saw we all had to step up in so many ways, and that was encouraging. We continue to do that. We know what we can do now, and we continue to step up. We've accomplished some things, but I think there's a lot more that we want to accomplish as individuals and as a group. I'm excited about 2017. But also we need to take the time to evaluate ourselves and see where we stand. Do we want to start a new year separated from God? We know that the wages of sin is death, and that means we are separated from God. We need to make corrections. We need to come to Him. In our class, we've talked about God's gift. And He's given us a gift, and it is up to us whether we open it or not. Are you going to open that gift and come to Him? Have you accepted this gift? Are you ready to come to God now? 2017 is going to be a good year. Start it off with God. Make anything right with God now, and you have the opportunity now to accept His invitation as we stand and sing.